Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where I relate to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today, we bring another special guest. His name is Eric Huberman, and he's the founder and CEO of Hawk Media, where they specialize on everything that has to do with e-commerce and help you scale your business forward. So that's why I wanted to bring Eric today, because actually before going live, we're having the conversation about, people usually focus only about Amazon, Walmart, but let's actually have a conversation about what it takes to successfully scale an e-commerce business. You know, I feel sometimes people don't focus on the essence of the business model, what are some of the principles you have to respect, and what are some of the strategies that usually tend to be, you know, what define the baseline of a successful e-commerce business. So, Eric, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here. How are you doing, my friend?
What's that? Yeah,
thank you. How's everything going? It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, no, it's great. Good to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. I think, as I say, you have such an extensive experience when it comes to e-commerce. I really want to leverage that for our audience today. I feel, especially in 2024, we've been seeing the market shifting a lot in terms of how people are feeling in general when it comes to marketplaces. Amazon has been getting a lot of backfire because of increasing fees. Then we see people jump into shiny objects to some extent, like TikTok Shop, Walmart, new marketplaces basically entering the market, such as Temu. So there's a lot of activity. And I'm sure people would like to understand sometimes, you know, beyond going into the specifics on these specific marketplaces, like what are the foundation of a successful e-commerce business. So I guess before we go into that, though, it would be great if you can tell us a little bit about you, because as I said, you have an interesting background and your company has done some great things in the space. So yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Background, graduated in 2008, went into real estate 1 week before the whole banking industry collapsed in the United States. And started trying to scramble to figure out what I was going to do. Ended up raising $1 million for an online music company a year later, and built that for 2 years. It was like, think of it as masterclass for the music industry, targeting independent artists. And did that for 2 years, hired a CEO to take over, then built a t-shirt subscription site, e-commerce site called Swag of the Month, early in the whole subscription e-commerce trend. Sold that a year and a half later, and then got recruited by Science, the incubator that had just launched Dollar Shave Club. And they asked me to advise for their portfolio, went there, ended up helping them launch a women's activewear brand called Ellie that we sold to Bally Total Fitness a year later. It's still operating, Ellie.com, E-L-L-I-E. And then that was 11 years ago. So
wow.
That I started advising and consulting for a bunch of brands and just found that the sort of marketing landscape was completely broken. Like 99% of marketing agencies are full of shit. I guarantee almost every one of your listeners has met a bad marketing agency.
It's
crazy that that's a thing, but it's a thing. And so I just thought it was ridiculous and went, I'm going to build a team that's the best at what they do, but be really easy to work with. Because what I found was that 1% of agencies that are actually any good tend to get really hard to work with. They want really high minimums. They only want to work with the Fortune 2000. There's a bunch of...
And they have a lot of bottlenecks, essentially, to
exactly.
work
it. And so I went, well, that's crazy. So why don't, like, none of this makes sense. I'm just going to build the thing that does. So we're going to be the best at what we do, but easy to work with. And that was the birth of Hawk Media. And now it's been almost 11 years of Hawk Media.
Wow.
And we started, and we've got about 250 full-time people. We manage marketing for about 600 brands right now, over 5,000 over the past 11 years. And we also, in that process, started investing in a lot of the technology that we use. And now we have over 100 investments, mostly in marketing tech and e-commerce tech. So we're in Klaviyo and PostScript and Tapart, a lot of the Shopify tech stack, et cetera. I am an investor in Shopify as well, but that's a public trade. So I don't think that means as much. About 8 years in, I discovered the idea of AI and thought that that is going to change everything. Thankfully, 2 years in, 8 years ago. And I started investing in it. And fast forward, now we have a whole AI system we built of our own that we launched right before ChatGPT-3 and really timed the market well. And so that's been really taking off, that we're digesting about 8,000 companies' marketing, media, and revenue data in real time so that we can train AI on what good marketing looks like and where the metrics should be. So then it can look at an individual company and actually identify where the opportunities are. And that's been, so it's like automated marketing strategy meets predictive analytics. And it's been really powerful, really fun. And yeah, that's the combination of the business.
Wow, love it, love it. Yeah, I think let's start making a little pause on the point you mentioned earlier regarding the marketers that are out there. I agree with you. Like, there's so many companies out there that they promise, you know, the moon to so many people. And every single time, sometimes it's painful. We do audits for brands that, you know, they've been spending thousands, sometimes millions of dollars. And it's just being done on a copy-paste methodology without any kind of clear guideline implemented to be tailored toward the brand, which is why I feel, you know, having conversations like this and putting this content out there is really, you know, putting the basically the standards of what you should be looking at in terms of when it comes to a partner. But on top of that, what are some of the principles that are non-negotiables to ensure that your commerce business is successful in the long term? On the other side, which I find also very interesting, is how you embrace a SaaS solution with your essentially what you offer to the clients. Because I feel on the other spectrum as well, when sometimes you find good marketers, they lack, you know, tech behind. You know, they are very smart. They know how to implement it, but they, as you said, they're not able to scale. So I think that's also going to be an interesting conversation. I'm most likely I'm going to ask you as we have this conversation in terms of how people can use technology, specifically such as AI, to really remove that bottleneck that's not allowing them to get their business to the stage that they want. Right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure that after having all this interaction with so many brands, like over 5,000 brands, that's crazy. Like, I'm sure you have identified clear, we can call them like pillars of success to some extent, of what an e-commerce business looks like. Because I'm sure after having so many calls with your team and your clients, you definitely have identified the avatar that makes a successful brand to you know, be able to scale when it comes to e-commerce. So let's start with that, like, I guess high level, because we can start there and then we can start going down the rabbit hole. What are some of the characteristics usually you find nowadays, especially in 2024, that define a successful e-commerce business?
Yeah, so I'll start with the marketing side, which we wrote a book called The Hawk Method. That's a fun one with Amazon stuff. But
I'm going to put it in the description for you guys to find.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, so a little more of a, without being flashy about it. But the concept here, think of it as modern marketing 101. I think on the marketing side, it's a really basic framework that if you do this, you will probably, if you have a good product, and I'll get into more of the product side, the margin side, all that, but let's just say from a marketing perspective, assuming all that's handled, it's really about the three principles of marketing, which is awareness, nurturing, and trust. So awareness, how do you let people know you even exist? And what are the tools you use, whether it's advertising and which advertising platforms, word of mouth, PR, all these different ways to get people to know you exist. And the mistake I see people make is they think that all in marketing is all it's about is awareness. But the problem is people don't just see an ad and buy something generally. It's very rare. And so then nurturing becomes that second principle, which is what do you do once they're aware you exist to actually get them to buy and keep buying? So things like email marketing and SMS and great content and all these things that keep them coming back. Merchandising, which is not really a marketing thing, but how you merchandise, how you develop your product base and how you so that people can come back and buy other things is super important. You need share a wallet when it comes to building a successful company. And then trust is the same thing as brand, but before you have a brand that's established, trust comes from third-party validation. If you're talking about Amazon, it's reviews. Even though 99% of people don't believe reviews are real on Amazon, they still look at them. It's hilarious. I it's a thing I ask when I do a lot of public speaking.
Even myself, I do it. Like, I still know they're fake, but choose the highest one. Yeah,
exactly. You still do it, even though, like, if you ask how do you think they have good reviews, it's generally because they bought them in Pakistan or something. Like, it's not real. But we know that, but it's still like human nature to look for validation when they're looking to buy something. So it's 75% of people won't buy from a company they don't inherently trust. The other 25% are what we call early adopters, people that just get excited about something and try it out. They're okay with taking that risk, but that's a small percentage of people. So you need to build that trust, which can come from testimonials, reviews, case studies, PR, influencer marketing, endorsement deals, all these different things that help that. And so, again, there's a lot more to go into there. We don't have time for, but that's what the book's about. But that's covering awareness, trust, and making sure you're doing all three of those well is a good start on the marketing side. On the operational side, gross margins need to be great. people think that, you know, oh, because it's direct to consumer, you might not need as good a margin because you're not paying a wholesaler. Bullshit. Mm-hmm. You have to pay for acquiring a customer. So it's you're replacing one with the other. So you want to have, you know, 70% plus gross margins, and the better, the better, you know. Mm-hmm. And so really good gross margins are important. Low margin businesses are really, really, really hard. You're paying the same amount of money to get traffic as someone else with better margins. And that's what you have to remember. Higher price points, I do like. You don't really want to be below, you know,
$10 products. Yeah. Like $10 products is
You're paying the same amount for traffic for a company that's selling a $1,000 product. Now they're going to convert a little less frequently, but still they'll, you know, pay more for that traffic all day. And so that part's really important when you're thinking about what to build. And then again, merchandising, I'll mention it again. Here's a good example. Casper has been a disaster because you buy a mattress once every decade, maybe. And then what? And their second product were dog beds, which those guys are nice guys, but I still don't get, like, what the hell are you thinking? You know, like if they had really gone into bedding and sheets and pillows, and they do now, I think.
Upsells. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. But not just upsells though, like just extension of lifetime value. Because if it's not, the problem is they're spending all these marketing dollars to make a $1,000 sale. Mm-hmm. And then their upsells $50. It doesn't really help, you know, if 20% of people buy a $50 product, your lifetime value didn't really move. And so you need to be able to sell things that continue to grow that. It's why you look at the auto business, because that's a great one. They don't make much of their money on cars. They make it on the financing. Mm-hmm. Figuring out, and which is, by the way, an option, but then know that's the business you're getting into is the financing business. Because the idea that you're going to make a lot of money on selling really expensive one item is really tough. That's a really hard business. So merchandising is another piece. And then understanding the difference between fixed costs and variable costs and keeping your fixed costs really low. High overhead is a thing we see with our clients all the time. Like this is a very common thing. We actually invested in a company called Pentane, which helps with all this financial literacy with e-commerce. It like actually reads everything, goes, here's what your contribution margins are. Mm. Here's what you need to do. Here's where you can spend more to make more. Because what we watch is, oh, our revenue's down a little bit. We need to cut back on marketing. And it's like, you know what's going to happen when you cut back on marketing? Your revenue's going to go down more.
Exactly.
And you know what else is going to happen? All these fixed expenses that are stressing you out are now going to be way over your revenue and you're fucked. So that's a bad decision. Keep your overhead low, and then you spend money to make money, and everything else is just gravy. Like that's the way to build a business really successfully in e-commerce. And the guys that I know that have done really well, that's what they've done. Small team, don't go build out your factory and your warehouse and all this shit. Like keep your
There are so many SaaS solutions out there. I mean, nowadays with AI, you don't really need so many positions that you used to, like in terms of copywriters, graphic design. There are so many things that now you can offload. Of course, you still need the human check on some of these things, but there are so many operations that now can be fully automated and that sometimes can be full-time people that you don't need anymore. And that's a big chunk of expense that you can remove. I think something I like as well that you mentioned, just to go a little bit back to that point, is the initial point of advertising. I see that mistake a ton. People, when they do e-commerce, they don't approach omni-channel strategy, right? They just go very tunnel vision and most people only do Amazon because that's the easiest route. And they only focus on doing advertising on Amazon and they think that's proper marketing.
Yeah, that's
they
don't not actually a business. That's a revenue stream. It's not a business, in my opinion. Yeah. There's no enterprise value to that. Like to me, if you're going to do the work, build a business that's sustainable. The problem is Amazon can rip off your product or someone else.
They can get suspended.
It happens all the time. And like you're by the way, you're working like an entrepreneur. You're spending all the time and risk and everything to build a business. Then build a fucking business. Like I see that all these Amazon sellers, and I'm like, guy, like. They get screwed so much and it's such a hard thing. And it's like, go build a brand, go build a company, because then you get enterprise value. So with Amazon, you're not going to sell that for more than one times profit, maybe at these days. Like
that unless you have a unique card that is really, you have a trademark or something, but most people
maybe don't know that. And still it's just hard versus like, you're going to get 10 times if it's your own business, 15 even sometimes. Profit, I'm talking about, to be clear. And crazy people pay 20, 25 times if it's a really good brand. Why wouldn't you take the risk to go do it the right way versus just sell on Amazon? Like, people get so short-sighted with the cash flow side of it. And the problem is you're reinvesting your cash flow in a new product a lot of the times, that when the clock runs out and you haven't built a brand and you're just trying to take advantage of like an underselling product on Amazon, now you're broke. And you spent all this time and money to grow something. And maybe you bought a Ferrari in the meantime, which I never understood why that's such a big deal. And you know, because I just see this with so many people. Yeah. And then congratulations, now you got to give it back because you have no more money.
Yeah. Now, you also, talking about the other side, which you also brought to the conversation, was the margins. I think I want to also make a quick focus on this, because while you were explaining this, you brought something that a lot of people are not mentioning, which is lifetime value. And this is another huge mistake I see on people only focus on marketplaces. People that only do Amazon, Walmart, or TikTok, they only focus on single transaction. They don't focus on what comes next after I already absorbed the acquisition cost. And I feel this is something that's been going on for ages. And if you have your own business in retail or you have your own website, I mean, lifetime value is always the number one thing you have to track as a business owner. And I feel the fact that so many people don't do it is why they also go under. They don't project their business for growth in the long term, you know? So
yeah, and it's exactly it. Lifetime value, like, people look at the first, in the where that hurts most people is they cut off their nose to spite their face, or they, you know, and what I mean by that is you're looking at your average order value. Let's say your average order value is $100 and you're spending $50 to acquire a customer, but then your cost of goods is $40. Yeah. So you're only making $10. And it's like, or let's say it's even the opposite. Let's say it's you're spending $60 to get a customer and it's $50 cost of goods. You're losing $10 on that first purchase. You're actually losing money. But let's say that person on average buys 8 times a year. So your real value in the first year is $800 and your margin is $400. And now you're spending $60 to make $400.
Makes sense.
Great business. But you're going to have to finance that, to be clear. That's where financing comes in, because that payback period takes time. And you have to understand these things in your business, because what happens is if you only look at the average order value, and we see this with clients too, then you're like, oh, well, I'm spending $60 to make 50. That doesn't make sense. Turn that off. And then you never grow. Or, and you end up cutting all those things off. And so then you never compete, you never grow. And again, if you have other people that are looking at the right way, which is why that cost is $60, because other people are willing to spend that, because it's all a bidding system, because they have done the math right. Also, that goes back to the marketing strategy and having those three pillars covered. Because if you're not doing the things to create new awareness, to then nurture that awareness and increase your conversion rates and increase your lifetime value, I talked about nurturing is also about keeping them coming back and building that trust. There's someone else competing with you that is doing all that right, that can afford to spend more on advertising because they know how to make more money from it. And so it's a combination of those two things.
Yeah, I feel at the end of the day, what people have to understand is that marketing is about touch points, right? You have to basically be in front of the customer as many times as possible. I don't remember which book it is, but I think there's this metric that you have to at least to touch a customer 5 to 7 times before sometimes they become a loyal customer of yours. So this is clearly an issue that I see people not taking into consideration. The thing is, one impression, one click, one sell, and it's much more complex than that. Now, going back to, the pillars that we can call them, like, we already discussed, the margins, we already discussed in terms of being having the omni-channel approach, in terms of advertising, and also how you get the revenue. What are things you have seen in business that make them successful when it comes to commerce?
You have to be relentless. It never ends. Like, people that, I've seen a lot of interesting stats recently that I just honestly didn't anticipate around hard work. I've always thought, like, the basics of success are work hard and be smart enough to learn from your mistakes and do the right things. Like, and I don't mean you don't have to be brilliant. You just have to be smart enough. And I never thought that I thought you had to work hard enough. But I always thought, like, we all have, 24 hours in a day. We all need our sleep. Some people less than others. I need a lot of sleep. I sleep 7 to 9 hours at night. Like, and it's been good, but I work my butt off. And so I never took that as I say that now. And I used to be like, oh, everybody works hard. I've realized not everybody works hard. And like, that is actually a statement. And like, the example I'll give is, there was a survey done about a month ago that thousands of people answered it. That was, would you rather work 25 hours a week and make 125 grand a year, or work 70 hours a week and make 300 grand a year? And I was like, easily 70 hours a week, 300 grand a year. And I shared that, like, why is this even a topic? People are like, that's too much time. You're not making the same per hour. I'm like, I don't care about the diminishing returns. I'm still making 300 grand. Like, I'd much rather work harder and make more, you know? So they, so what percentage of people do you think answer they'd rather work 25 hours a week? I assumed it'd be the majority, but what percentage do you think it came out to?
25. I would say 70%, 80%. I
mean, that's what I thought it'd be, is 70%. 98.2% of people would rather work way less hours.
That's good news for us that work a lot.
Exactly. That is good news. It also made me realize, like, there's your 1%. Like, don't get me wrong, there's people in the 1% that were handed it, that got lucky, et cetera.
Of course.
But a lot of the, like, I'd say more, like, that's the higher end of the 1%. The people that are truly making $500,000 a year, $1 million a year, that's that survey, that's the hardworking people that are find that way. Cause I've now seen it. Like, if you work your butt off, you can make your way to the 1%. It's available to anyone. You just have to put in the work. And it turns out most people don't want to put in the work. And so you want to build a business, welcome to working your butt off for a long time. Because the other thing I've learned running business in general, and I've talked to a lot of other founders about this, there's no finish line. There's no point where it's easy. Mm. There's no point where it's just stable.
You can sit in the beach and the millions coming.
Yeah, exactly. No one's going to run your business for you. All of that is bullshit. You're here to work, and you're going to live like most won't, but you're going to work like most won't either.
Yeah, I love that.
And so you've got to work your butt off. Like, that's, and you, no one else is responsible. No one else cares as much as you do. And like, that is a big, and I say this because you ask, like, what's this, you know, the successful piece? It's really that is the first thing, knowing that it's on you and never scapegoating. You're never a victim. No one wants to hear you whine. Like, you got to get to work. I remember I was with Gary Vaynerchuk years ago, and he said something that stuck with me. That's like, entrepreneurship is eating shit, and your ability to swallow will dictate how successful you are. Like, that's about as crude and blunt metaphor for entrepreneurship as I've heard. There was another one about eating glass and staring into the abyss.
I know.
I think that's dramatic. Frankly, I think it's hard, but it's not staring into abyss. It's
no, like, I think that defines a successful entrepreneur. At the end of the day, I feel being a successful entrepreneur, it's not always about how smart you are. It's about how you deal under extreme amount of pressure. Like, even if you have an elephant on your shoulders, you need to be able to take decisions and still make the right decision. I think that's the superpower you have to have, because being smart, at the end of the day, you can hire the right people to do that. You just need to give the directions. But yes, I feel consistency is key. Like, I see that so many times, especially in e-commerce. And you see it, like, all these videos online that say, oh, start your e-commerce business. In 3 months, you're going to have your Lamborghini. You're going to be in the Philippines. You're going to be traveling the world. And I think that created the mindset that e-commerce in general is easy. And that's why so many people.
And here's the funny thing. I love to repeat this about a Lamborghini. Lamborghini costs, there isn't an employee in my company that makes less than the monthly payment on a Lamborghini. So it's like, exactly. I can hire one of my 250 employees.
Exactly.
To me, a Lamborghini is a sign of priorities, not a sign of wealth. It's like, it's ridiculous to me that is. Now, by the way, I'm a car guy. I like racing. Like, I'm all for it. If you want to buy a car and go race and go enjoy it, or you love it as a piece of art, I have no judgment of that. But the idea that it's a sign of wealth, it's not a sign of wealth. It's a sign of priorities. And if those priorities are, this is my hobby and I made good money and I want to go do it, that's fine. But if it's like, so that I can show a bunch
show
of
off.
That, yeah, show off, like, that's stupid.
Yeah. Now, I think to start, bringing the conversation to a closure, I think when it comes to e-commerce, another thing that people really struggle as well is figuring out, when we're getting started, which avenue to take to start generating the initial kind of revenue, right? Because as we mentioned on the first point that you were bringing to the conversation, like, when you go omnichannel, there's so many options you can take, but I still believe the first choice that you take in terms of your starting point to create that initial cash flow is also key, because that's going to create the snowball effect. So I guess from your experience and what you're seeing with your clients, like, how a person, when they want to start the e-commerce venture, they can come up with a process where they can identify the best channel for them to get that ball running. Yeah.
So this is an opinion that I'd say take with a grain of salt, but if you're going to build a business, you need to have enough conviction. And I don't mean fake conviction. I don't mean you're just going to do it. You're going to commit for the sake of committing, but I mean, like, you know, the world needs this product and you are hyper committed. My opinion is you're going to do it right. And so I would say direct to consumer first. You build a website, you build a Shopify site, and you go, because Amazon's going to take a huge cut. You're not going to build a brand. You're not going to build any relationship with customers. There's no education you're going to get from that. You're just going to be plugging into it. You're going to building a widget. You're not building a company. And if you're going to do it, again, I go back to like, do it right. But it's going to take a little more investment, a little more time. It's harder. And if it works, you're going to be much more successful. So my view is that like I think it was David Sachs that said, if you're not working on your best idea, you're doing it wrong. Like if this isn't the best thing you could be doing with your time,
that's a point.
Upside, what are you doing?
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a perfect, you know, a point to close the conversation. I think it's been great to have you on, Eric. I know we're just scratching the surface. There's so many things we can bring in terms of how to make a successful business, but I think these pillars we touch on are definite things that is something people keep struggling and they need to hear multiple times sometimes to make the decision that, you know, I need to make a change in my life and my operation to really bring my business to the right stage. So other than that, Eric, how people can find you in case, you know, they want to get in touch with you, work with your company as well. I know you also have everything related to e-commerce. Yeah.
Again, we're supposed to be easy to work with. So you can find me anywhere on social @ Eric Huberman. We also have our podcast, Hawk Talk. And then our website is hawkmedia.com, HAWKEmedia.com.
Awesome. I'm going to put all the information for you guys to find down in the description. Other than that, Eric, pleasure. So hopefully I see you soon in person. Yeah. Okay. Have a nice one. See ya. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn @ecomsy.